We are going to start with a prayer. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you, the Lord, we can come together. Lord, that your spirit may, Lord, draw people to come together to receive, to hear your word, to be empowered and transformed. Let, Lord, your presence, your word, your anointing, your power, Lord, be evident, you know, your supernatural abilities and gifts to be manifested, Lord, in people's life, Lord, and you really empower, Lord, overcoming all kinds of sickness and disease, just the same as when Jesus was walking in this, Lord, this street of Galilee, Lord, that, Lord, all who came to him, they were healed, delivered, set free, Lord, and transformed in their life. Lord, nothing has changed. The same power is today as it was. The same power is in us today as we minister in the spirit that Jesus ministered. And he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the enemy. So, Lord, can we do you also? And we ask you, Lord, that this may become more and more evident, Lord, more and more effective, more and more, Lord, the reality in which we live, because the time of Jesus coming is approaching, and Lord, we had to do a work before he comes, and we had to get to a place before he comes. So, Lord, that we may be, Lord, willing to apply yourself to, Lord, connect with you, to, Lord, take the steps that are required, Lord, so that your power and your anointing may be manifested in our life, Lord, and that we may know what to do, Lord, to work the works of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Yeah, I believe that this year the Lord wants to do things more than ever did before, because of the time we are in, and he's going to just open up revelation, understanding, and power to the people that are willing to take the steps to connect with him and to respond to the call that they have in their life. So, to start with, okay, we have been talking about reaching out. And really, reaching out is one of the best places to see the power of God manifested, because God wants to reach everybody. You know, he came, you know, that everyone may be saved. And so, and he decided and he chose to do it through his people, to the believers. And Jesus' ministry is passed on to them, because that's what he did. We have to, it's not automatic. You know, it doesn't just happen because he did it. You know, there are, we are just as involved and just as participating and just as critical in the process as Jesus was, as the Holy Spirit is. You know, this is really, you know, three people coming together. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and you. And when, you know, this should be the Holy Trinity in down here, operating in you, achieving the impact and the result that God wants to establish on earth. The same thing that happens in there, that happens in heaven. So that is our responsibility. And we have a responsibility, and we have a function. You know, it just doesn't happen by itself. We can be willing to be part of this or not. And so when we do that, we do it, we have to do it the right way. So, you know, the commitment that we have to the process is going to have an impact on the type of results we get. So we've been talking about developing a plan. Okay. How many have been praying about getting direction from the Lord, about to know exactly, you know, how to be used by Him in this area? See some hands? One? Only one. Not too many. Okay, so the idea, okay, I say another end there. But the idea is that, you know, there is a part we need to play, and the part that we need to pray is really to start connecting with God to receive the anointing, to do the work, because this is supernatural work. It's not physical work. It's not just psychology. It's not just things, you know. I mean, it's a supernatural activity, and you cannot save things mentally. And this is why I don't believe too much in apologetics. You know, it's just not a question of knowing certain things. It's a question of having the anointing and having the power operating in you, because that's what changes people. It's not logic. It's that you can talk to people about the Lord for forever, and they never get, see, they have to come to a place in which they make a decision, and a decision has to come from their heart, and you can really change people's heart by reasoning. So this is just not working. So we have to really get direction from God. Be willing, recognize that this is God's desire. If we are connected with God, then our will has to be the same will of the Father. That's what Jesus said. I do only what I see my Father doing. See, not my will, but your will. So, you know, if we line ourselves up with the will of the Father, then we must want Him to do what God wants us to do. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so if that makes sense, then we have to, if we don't, then there is a break there in some way, or a disconnect. And we have to, you know, try to make the reconnection there that we need to see taking place, okay, in us. And we are going to know it, because then, you know, what is going to happen when you read, you know, the gospel, you know, for example, Isaiah chapter 62, there, you read the commission for Jesus, you know, you read that and it resonates with you that this is the commission that, you know, God has for you too. Okay. You know, the Lord has anointed me to, you know, set the captivity those who are bound. And so that the idea, you know, and all that comes after. So the idea is that we need to, you know, have the desire, the motivation, and the, you know, feeling of, you know, wanting to do it, even not just mentally, not just, but even emotionally, and, you know, operating in us. And we have to have that. Okay, and when we don't, that means that we have been, you know, we are not really connected completely with the Father, because that's what is His desire. Now, you know, that can be manifested in different way. Not everybody does to do it the same way. Not everybody has the same personality. God uses different personalities to deal with different people. Okay, but the idea is that we have to have inside the desire, and we have to seek God to have the direction about that, and not just to be religious about it. It's not just to do things the way, you know, religion does externally. It has to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's where, and you know, and that means, you know, to be led by the Holy Spirit, we have to be wanting to be led, and we have to be open to connect with Him on a regular basis, to listen to Him, to get direction to do. And he was going to use us the way he made us, according to the principles and the gifts and the inclinations that we have ourselves. That's why he made each person different, because he's not creating robots or machines all the same. He's creating people completely different one from another, so that they can do completely different things. But they still have to be directed by him. Still make that connection with the Holy Spirit. Still fulfill the same type of ministry that he promised us. So that's really so important. So things that you have to do. This is why, you know, I gave you some instruction to just kind of structure that, but that's not enough. Okay, you have to get your own instruction, your own thing, and you have to seek the direction. That's the thing we were praying about, and you know, we've been praying, and you should keep praying to receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know the, you know, your calling, the glory that is prepared for you. So that's important for everyone to actually be actively involved, not just to Bible study. Bible study without actually manifestation of the result from it, it becomes a bondage more than a progress, because that produces, you know, just mental knowledge, and that doesn't empower. That makes you only more or less that, you know, invalidate your faith, bottom line, because you're not going to see the results of supernatural results that your faith should manifest. So, you know, has been any development or on that, on the plan for anybody? Any ideas that you start putting down that you see more clearly? Did you make any progress from when we start on the topic? Or we just are talking and getting nowhere?
Pastor Maurizio, I haven't really written down anything yet, but I've had a lot of experiences in the past 2 weeks of different things happening in the apartment building, and about just opportunities to connect with people. And one of them was coming in the underground parking lot. Chantel and I were coming, and this guy was coming through where our cars were parked, and I saw him limping with a cane. And I just said to him, "What happened to you?" And he explained the story about his glasses falling off of his face over the balcony, landing on top of the canopy. Anyways, he jumped off his balcony onto the canopy, then onto the ground in front of the building. And he hurt his leg. And I said to him, "Wow." And I said, "Well, I'll be praying for you." And he goes, "Okay." And I said, "Well, can I pray now for you?" And he goes, "Sure." So I asked him what his name was. And anyways, I prayed for him. And then I had a chance to talk to somebody else in the laundry room and just a bit about my faith. And we ended up talking about the COVID and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord's been just bringing people. So I've started making a list of the names of people that he's brought into
Did
my,
you know, so my Tabarge, Mr. and Mrs. Tabarge, there were two sisters.
Yeah.
They died in their 90s.
Peter, everybody can hear you. I think this, I should put the paper muted.
Oh, did I make something? Sorry.
Yeah, just after, okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So that's just about.
Unmute yourself again, Chantal. Patty, because I muted everybody.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did I already talk or did
yeah,
I
yeah, remember? Yeah.
Okay. So I just started to make a note of a prayer list of the people that he has brought across my path, and to leave myself open to see them again and to remember their names. Amen. And a couple of weeks ago, I had a dream of this girlfriend of mine. And I the last time I saw her was in high school when we graduated. And I asked the Lord to bring her across my path because I've got some books that her dad lent me. And she's Ukraine and her father was a senator. And so when I had this dream, I just saw her so vividly and so clear. And I said, Lord, you have to bring her across my path. I have to return those books to her. And I've had them all these years. I'm in the hallway, the lady that we met across the hall, I started sharing with her about my nephew who took in a Ukrainian family in Sault Ste. Marie, where we were going to visit last week. And I said, it just dawned on me that the girlfriend that I want to get in contact with is Ukraine. And I said to her name is Vera. And she said, use it. And I said, yes. She goes, she was at my wedding in 1987. So she contacted her and gave me her email address, and I contacted her, and she was glad to hear from me. And anyways, we're going to connect next week. And I said, I just explained to her in the email about praying that the Lord would bring her across my path about these books that I want to return to her. And I said, God is good. And she answered me back and said, looking forward to connecting with you, and God is good.
Amen. So praise the Lord. Good. That's interesting. Good. But you see, if one does nothing, nothing happens. When you start doing something, then things start to happen. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Good. Anybody else?
Pastor, it's Lucy.
Okay, I'm mute yourself now because you are muted.
Okay. I have continued to work with a few of friends that I had on my list. Mm-hmm. The Lord is showing me more where they are spiritually, so it's just coming along. And many of them, they need healing. They're sick and they really need healing in many areas. So okay. I think they seem to be all about being sick.
Well, Jesus came to heal the sick, isn't it?
Yes.
So that's our job.
Yeah, they're all sick. So that's what I realized. Okay. And some are coming back. My niece had given her life to the Lord many years ago, but the Lord has brought me back in my mind. And just before when you were starting, she was calling me. She's the daughter of my sister who's in hospital right now. Mm-hmm. So I think the Lord is, I'm going to continue to work with her to bring her back.
You see how it's showing another person's face there?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Oh.
I think he should close his computer.
Something. Yes, I mute yourself.
So I'm going to continue to work with my niece. I think she's backslided. She wasn't the Lord. And so the Lord has brought her into my mind. And she called me earlier as we were on. She needed to talk to me. So I prayed for her directly. I said, let's pray together. So I'm paying more attention to what the Lord is doing.
I don't know what happened. Maybe you hit a button.
Okay.
And I've been praying for the Lord to give me the spirit of wisdom and discernment. This is what I've been praying on. And I thank the Lord. I think it's coming along.
Amen.
Slowly, but it's coming along.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I thank the Lord for that. Glory to Him.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Any other things taking place? Anybody having some progress?
I can share something. This week or last week, I noticed that I think the Lord is working on some of my friends by making situations occur in their lives to challenge their set ways of thinking. And so that has created opportunities for conversations because they are now not so sure about their rigid ways of seeing things. So they are more open to a different point of view. So it has generated discussions from the heart. So I see that the Lord is creating opportunities by making them live through something where they need to challenge themselves a little bit with their beliefs.
Amen.
So I'm noticing and then seeking the Lord to show me what and when and how, and but it's coming.
Okay. Okay, that's good. See, the thing is, we make progress when we start asking ourselves some questions about the things that are going on in our life, the things, even when we study the Bible or when we read the Bible. If we just read the Bible and, keep going, especially when we read the Bible quickly, what you get is very little. You get something, you get, sometimes you get be blessed, but you don't get very much unless you really are there asking for direction and seeing what that means for me at this moment, at this time. You know, how do I apply this? Okay, it's in the application that really the understanding comes, is not in just the reading. Because, often we just see it applied to other people, but not to ourselves. Because generally we do that. And so really the thing we had to do is to ask ourselves questions about what we are reading. What does it mean for me right now, this moment? Is whatever topic you're reading, doesn't matter, is always the same. And that makes all the difference, okay, in our life. It makes all the difference in the way we benefit from what we are reading, because what happens is that, the word becomes effective as we apply it, not as we read it. We cannot exercise our faith if we don't apply the word in a situation that, is related to what we are reading. It's basically, okay. So, that's very important. The see what to do with the word. How does it apply? How does it correct? How does it change? How to reinforce our ideas? So that we, have on the mental understanding as well as this. Otherwise, we cannot communicate. Anointing is critical. But just anointing without being able to explain or communicate or minister to other through our words is not going to go very much. And so that's really the thing we had to learn to do. Let me ask one question here. Generally, when we start to do this, both application or trying to reach out and everything else, okay, we sometimes comes into some resistance or some difficulties or some hindrances. And, something we find difficult to do. Okay, this is connected with, maybe our weaknesses or our previous experiences or our, the wrong thinking that we have. There are going to be some experiences that you're going to see repeating themselves over and over. Okay, and that indicates areas in which you need to hear from God and introduce some changes. Okay. Because God wants you to have victory, not just go around circles and get nowhere. Okay, God wants you to be successful in the world so that you can be effective. God is not a loser. He is a winner. He overcomes, and he wants his people to overcome. But, our limitations become God's limitation because God works through us. See, just like the Israelites, the children of Israel, were limiting the Holy One of Israel, Psalm 77, the same way we are today, as we limit God because of our beliefs, that are really sometimes not accurate, sometimes wrong, or unbelief, if you want, as well, because, it's always belief. It's only believing, not according to the word of God. Okay, so that's what, is anybody that has found some areas that is difficult for them to break through for one reason or another, that you're going to follow in the same type of problem with other, and as you are witnessing out, that's a good area, because there is where the enemy tries really to put as much resistance as he can, but even in the normal application of the word in your own walk. Does anyone else something like to share about that? Because, this is starting, getting that kind of information helps you to start seeing yourself in the areas in which God wants to develop.
For one thing, I've been asking God, before I retire from my workplace, I've been asking God, can I write out on a little piece of cardboard, perhaps my name and phone number, and the reason is that I want to pray. If anybody wants prayer, or let's say ministry to get closer to God, to call me. But I'm always getting this feeling that there's something that is not attractive in the way I'm presenting it. So because I don't know who to minister to at my workplace.
The thing is, there is a natural thing that takes place.
Yeah.
When
I can't push myself in this.
When we are ready.
Yeah.
They'll come to us.
Of course.
Naturally.
Okay. Yeah, but okay. I need
when
to.
When we are prepared, time. When we are prepared, you see the question of being prepared and being ready, then they'll show up.
Right.
Okay, so we have to prepare ourselves. We have to be ready. We have to be connected with God. And then, they're going to show up.
Okay.
Naturally. It's not going to be a problem. So if we have a difficulty in making the connection, it's because there are some things that we have to, in the way we think, that it has to be different. And one of the things that we have to believe is that God wants to use us, and that and that He's going to use us, and He's going to, and we are available. And so to say even that way, to send it to others, doesn't mean that we cannot take initiative. But there are the Holy Spirit brings opportunities all the time when we are ready.
Yeah, so they come to us.
They come to us in the sense that, they come to us, but not necessarily, just coming to us. They come, the opportunities happen around us that we can take advantage, that we can recognize and act on.
Okay.
So, when we are ready, we identify the opportunities.
Okay,
not just the question of doing something on the physical. No, it's the question that we are ready, and the opportunity comes, and we see the opportunity, and we jump into it. And then it's the Holy Spirit that has set up the whole situation. It's not that we are trying to do something, and then nothing happened from it, and possibly the only thing that we get is frustrated.
Right.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Perhaps I can start, like I said before, maybe just put on that piece of cardboard my name and my phone number, and give the reason, because I'm not going to, I have another 2 months before I leave that place. I'm finished. I'm retiring. So yeah.
Well,
trying to figure out a way to do it. It might be, I'll ask God for advice.
The thing is, you know,
advice within your capacity.
You can do that. You can do other things. Okay. Yeah. They can, you know, in talking to people, they're going to talk with you, and what they, from what they say, one can see the things that one can do to minister to them.
Okay, I can ask them if they need prayer. Is everything okay?
Or just, you know, when they speak, they say things about themselves.
Okay.
And those things that they say about themselves, that's our starting point.
Yeah, it's just I have so little time because of breaks and lunch and everything else.
Yeah, that's okay, but...
It takes about 3 minutes. I got 3 minutes to come up with something at work. But after that, when I'm retiring, if they call me, then I'll have the time. But, you know, I'm thinking...
You know, it's not our ministry, it's his ministry.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so it's not... You just be available, prepare yourself, you know, know the scriptures, you know enough scripture, meditate on the scripture, receive the revelation and understanding on how to minister to people, how to say things so that they can receive them and they can hear you and they and touches their heart. That's the thing. That's what makes the difference. Then, you know, you can go around and sweating and running and doing things and, you know, and getting nowhere, or you can do almost nothing and all the things you do, they work.
That's it's God that does the work, and
well,
we just have
through us.
Okay. Well, through
we have to know, hear what God is saying and understand what He's doing, and you know, participate in the process. We have to do the work of God. The work God doesn't work by Himself, but we need to do the work, and He, you know, is the one empowering and giving the anointing to do it. If you are connected with Him,
okay.
I think that Mary was saying something, so let me see. Oh, Mary, go ahead.
I just wanted to, but I've talked to you a bit about it, but then the difficulties with kind of where we're being in a place where God, to really connect, like you're saying, to God for the ministry, like for me, for all of us to really need from Him too. Like in that place, but then also where He'd be aligning, because I'm finding a little bit of like back and forth with that, like wanting to this, or then my words get all stumbly and all this noise that's been in all my being. But then kind of where He's leading me to in a quieting with Him for, like, I think what you're saying then, for that clarity to coming.
Yet to see where you are at this moment. Okay. If things doesn't flow the way they should with clarity, then you have to, you know, get closer to Him and get the word to clean up your thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. So that, and not only that, but as to, you know, you have to get the anointing flowing through you so that, you know, is under the anointing, you are going to be able to express yourself much better than you can express yourself, you know, for your own thinking and your own reasoning. So, you know, when the anointing is there, you know, there is a natural flow of thoughts and ideas because, you know, this is God's thoughts that take over.
Okay, that does make sense, because then it's just sometimes what seems conflicting but is not. Like, this is what we, you know, and to take the opportunities when there are to say something or just whatever about Him that He's, you know, but that is, like, it's not a rush into what you can't do on your own. And that's just keeps helping to clarify where it's like, I feel He's really getting me to a place to sit down with Him.
Yeah. Well, that's where the anointing comes from.
Yeah, okay.
Spending time with Him, rubbing shoulders with Him. Then the thing is, by osmosis, is communicated to us. And that is prayer, you know, just that being in, you know, in His presence, by being in contact, by by communing with him. You know, this is where the anointing comes, the understanding comes. Okay, we are not trying to, you know, resolve everything, but he is there, you know, clearing up, cleansing us through the word, you know, renewing our mind in the things that mean. And, you know, the important thing is actually to be obedient in the things that we are getting. Okay.
Okay, thank you. That just keeps getting more and more clear for me. That is what's happening. So,
okay. So the more obedient you are to the things that he's trying to get across to you, you know, is not labor that he wants from us. It's obedience.
Right.
There's a big difference. We can be there doing all the works, okay, dead works, and getting nowhere. Or we can do very little, but what you do, we do, is actually him working in us. And other, you know, people say, "Oh, you can do more." Well, when there is going to be the time, when you're going to be ready, when he wants to you to do it, he will empower you to do more.
That, thank you. That totally is, again, a real clarifying for where I'm at. Thank you.
There is a time with God.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All right. Anybody else? Anybody that, you know, things, realize the things that you kind of bang against the wall and you want to break through. I believe this is a year of breakthroughs. So I'm positioning myself for that. Okay. Now, one thing that you have to realize, then let me get into again the thing. When we try to minister to somebody else, there are two factors, or more than many factors, okay? One of them, okay, it's, you know, our history, okay? If you are a new believer, for example, you are going to know lots of people that are in the world because that's where the people you are mixed with. Okay. And so you have a really big field there, possibly more than some people that have been with the Lord for a very long time because they, you know, are in connection or connected to other believers most of the time. And so, you know, you, in a way, you are in a position of really, your field is really big because you know a lot of people in a personal way, okay, in which you can start ministering to. So if you see, even in the gospel, even in the scriptures, okay, Jesus didn't, we can see that maybe later tonight if I have the time. You can see that they, you know, Jesus sent everybody, you know, right away. Once they were, most of them anyway, not everybody, but just about everybody. Okay. The disciples didn't have much faith. The disciples didn't, were confused and unbelieving when he was resurrected. He still gave the Great Commission to those people because they knew there wasn't them, it was the Holy Spirit in them. Okay, so the idea is that, you know, your area of contact, the people that you come in contact with, okay, there are going to be many more people that are not believers. And that's your field. Okay, learn to influence them rather than being influenced by them. But there is one but there. And the but is that, okay, they know you. They know the way you were before you were born again. And some of them, they will respond to that the same way as they responded to Jesus when he was trying to, you know, reach out in Nazareth. Oh, this is the son of the carpenter. Oh, this is the guy that was making drugs with me. Oh, this is the one that was doing that and the other things. Okay. And now you come there and you talk about, you know, you sound religious. Okay. Well, in a way, okay, if in coming to the Lord, this has been a major change in your life, and people can see that change by itself, that's a testimony, even without you opening your mouth. Okay. If the change is so evident, okay, your past reputation actually becomes an element in your favor. So don't feel bad about the bad things that happened or the bad, you know, the fact that you were a mess before. They are a mess. We are a mess. Everybody was a mess. The people that weren't a mess, there is very, very, you know, very little the Lord can do for them. Who much sin, much loved, Jesus said. Okay, so that's a thing that we have to understand. Okay, so the, your connections are important. And so, you know, the connection that you had to use them and you know, reach out to them, minister to them. Now, let me see. One of the things I said before tonight was the anointing is important. That means, you know, God's power being on you, being manifested, the Holy Spirit quickening you, okay, empowering you. You should not operate in the flesh. You should learn to operate in the Spirit. That means under the anointing. And one, you should cultivate the anointing. By cultivating the anointing, you know what I mean is, you know, you cultivating the God's presence with you and feeling the difference that takes place when the anointing comes on you. Some people don't feel any different. They didn't feel anything. Well, they had to learn to know when the anointing is coming upon you, you know, and because that's an indication that something is going on the spiritual level. The Holy Spirit start become activated. Okay. Often, some people feel more the disanointing, because, I mean, you know, when there is demonic manifestations around, than when there is Holy Spirit anointed. Because they are looking at the things of the flesh are going on around the place, instead of really realizing that God's anointing is stronger than all the messes and the demonic manifestations that are taking place. We have to learn to be sensitive to the anointing and to respond to it. Okay? To when that happens, not to get distracted, and to connect to know what the next things that should take place. God is moving. Okay? That's the time for you to move too. Be available to be used. And, you know, that's really an important step, in which then you can start to, you know, not to worry about what's going on, but to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing inside you and to minister to the other people. Okay. And, you know, that's going to be slightly different from person to person according to the gifts that the person has. Okay, but still, you know, some people are more rational, more thoughtful and so on. Other people are more impetuous. You know, see, for example, the difference in the ministry between Peter and John. Completely different. God uses both at different times. Okay? Peter is the type that see things and says exactly what goes on in his mind, and sometimes it's really off. You know, like, for example, when, Jesus said to him, go behind me, Satan. Okay? Because he would say, oh, we don't want you to suffer or to die or whatever. And Jesus said to him, go behind me, Satan. Don't tell me what to do. Okay. John instead was there the opposite. Like they say, we even say, for example, Mary and Martha. Okay, completely different personalities. Okay. God can use everybody according to the inclination and personality that they have. But you have to correct, sometimes the element of your personality that makes you, do the wrong thing. Because everything, somebody that, for example, the Martha is there working, like crazy and getting upset because Mary is there and just at the feet of Jesus. Well, Mary can be there at the feet of Jesus and do nothing and never do anything, and then nothing gets done. So both of them, can operate, but they have to be balanced, so that there are things happening at the same time, but they are according to God's will instead of your ideas. Okay. The thing is, one of the important things is what we, read last week, that we to learn to see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, talks about that we see no one according to the flesh, not even Jesus, but according to the Spirit. So we had to learn to see things in a spiritual way. Okay. And so, connect with them, connect with the situation from that perspective. That applies to other people and applies to ourselves. Okay. We can, looking at ourselves, just look at the flesh and look at our, weaknesses and put ourselves down, okay, ignoring and forgetting all the good things that God has been doing and does on us. And we have to be open to actually let those things grow. Instead of, denying them or not seeing even seeing them. So, I've been reading a scripture, I think, that is really a good scripture, giving a lot of information and a lot of perspective about things. In John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 and 13, it says, but as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but the will of God. See, that is such a powerful and interesting scripture that we need to learn to apply, to learn to see, in your case, how do you read it, how do you apply it, how does it help you, okay, to know in reaching out to people, what perspective does it give you? What can you pull out to help you in doing that, in reaching out? Or you know, in responding to God, whatever, whatever. Anybody? Anything?
Well, that perspective gives us a sense of confidence, not coming from us, but coming from above.
So how do you get that? From which words?
Well, I don't know. Can I give you an example? I don't know if that's, I know that'll relate to what we just talked about, but
I don't know.
If there's people around me, okay, and I think the way I was thinking in the past, then I may think, well, these people are don't like me, they want to hurt me, and it could be exaggerated. In other words, it's not true. But in reality, they're people who were created by God the way we were. So with the right perspective, I have a better chance to see through them. Perhaps the goodness that they have, rather than these crazy thoughts of, you know, I don't know if I'm explaining myself very well with this.
Okay, well, you know, I mean, that can be some thoughts you get, but, you know, relating to this, the words in the verse there. Okay, number one.
Okay, I see. Yeah, okay.
You know, the fact that you took that position that you received Christ, that you received Jesus. Okay, that put you in a position of, having the right to become child of God.
Right.
Okay? Because you believe in his name, because you believe who he is.
Okay? And what he did and all that.
That's right. So, you know, you are not just like anything, but you are a child of God.
Right.
Okay? You can be still messed up, but still... you have the right. You may not be completely a child of God. You can be still, in construction, a construction site. But still, no matter what, okay, you have the right because you believe in his name. So, I can understand, it can encourage you, okay, to be able to do things, reaching out to other people. Or to motivate you to do the Father's business the way Jesus did.
Mm. But relating to the verse, it puts us in a position of stability. That's what's important.
That's right.
Not our thoughts that go all over the place, but a position of stability the way God made us.
Yeah. So, it's not just, something happened, okay? Yeah. They put you in a place in which you can do something. And it's not that just the things that you are the same things that you were before. Now, you have at least the right to become child of God. That means that, you have the, and the word there, right, actually is interesting. I think I can't remember it to make sure, but I think, the right is exousia, that's right, which actually is the power, is the ability to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so give us the ability or the power to become child of God. Now, to the and that is just something a child is somebody that grows in the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the part there. Okay, and that the power, the way that the growth happens is because of the other part of the verse. Anyway, okay.
The best growth you. Yeah.
Anybody else? Any other person has something you want to say about that?
Yes, I see it as we're in the same position as Jesus. Like we have that right. We have the right to do those things because if we're God's child, then we're like Jesus. So that's
the exchange. He was the first begotten son.
Yeah.
He was the first begotten, but we are the one adopted. So, we are on the same direction, or at least, moving toward where he was.
That's you can hardly fathom that, you know.
You know, our mind can hardly understand that.
Yeah.
Because we can see all the our limitations and all our inabilities and so on. And so that gives us some, more than just some comfort, but, you know, some direction, some stability, as, you know, John said before. That's right. All right. Okay. So that was, you know, but the all the different scripture that, you know, that should start to give us a vision. Okay. Or you know, to see, you know, what does it mean in terms of God's plan for our life? What he wants us to be transformed and developed so that we can have actually, you know, if you want, it's like a goal that we have. Or, you know, a place that will be a destination or a destiny. Okay? And we have to embrace that destiny. You know, it's not going to happen if we do nothing about getting there. And so, not only that, but if we come, you know, we have this destiny or there, we have this similarity with Jesus, you know, really the same ministry that he had is our ministry. In terms of reaching out to people and ministering to them and bringing life to them. That's what in 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about, 17 and following, you know, that has given us the ministry of reconciliation, you know, by which we, you know, actually almost beg people to be reconciled to God. Because he has already reconciled them, and they are just to embrace that and accept it to start experiencing the benefits. So you see, but the fact that we start seeing ourselves, start seeing other people in a certain way, you see, the way we see the world around us has to have changed from before. The way we see ourselves, and that we, and it's not that we say, oh, we are so much better. No, you know, this is more. I mean, we were just the same as they were. And, you know, it's not, we did it, he did it for us. And so he can do it for them too. All right. So the other thing that we looked at were, you know, the old man and the new man in Colossians chapter 3. Okay. The different characteristics of, you know, the two personalities were in us. Understanding that those things have a independent life, if you want, operating in two different, completely different field or different than, you know, area. And, you know, we had to make a decision about how we operate, where we choose to be, you know, are we connected to the old man, or are we connected to what degree, and how much we are connected to the new man that is building Christ Jesus, in which all the things are of God and in difference or in not connected with God. Okay. See that those things, you know, I read people saying, you know, Paul changed his mind and, you know, he developed his theology a different time. No, these are different aspects of the same thing that he said at the time. You know, this is the spiritual dimension has many different aspects and they all come together and they are just, you know, it's like a multidimensional object, or you know, that has different facet, you know, facet, and each are different. The way you look at them as a different, so different aspect becomes more evident than otherwise. So, you know, we had to learn, okay, to establish, okay, the new man and to crucify the old man. And that's the process that we have to do. You know, this is what our thing is. And as we do that, okay, less and less of the flesh is going to be there, and more of the spirit, more and more of the spirit of Christ is going to be manifested in us. And that is not just automatic. The more we crucify the flesh, the more the Spirit of Christ is going to be in us. Christ, or the anointing, is the same thing. So really, the more we are going to experience God's anointing. So if you want to experience God, if you want to operate in the supernatural, that's some of the things we have to do. We have to have that vision, that understanding, those goals, and make the decisions that are relating to that. Okay. So, you know, that is what makes you an effective witness. It's not just some techniques that you learn. It's not just, you know, it's just that the Spirit of Christ is in you and is going to have an effect on that. It's not just religion. It's not just ideas. It's not just, you know, things, approaches that you learn, you know, in the mental. It's really, okay, that the flesh, the members, you have put them to death. They're crucified. Now, that's the thing that is in the people and the world. So, you know, you have to see how that connects you with the people. You know, some of these things may not be in them so much. And so, you know, it's easy to become critical. This is the mistake that often is done, because when you are becoming critical, there's going to be no effective witnesses, because they feel it, they sense it. See, God loves them the way they are. And that's the part that you have to learn to do as well. Not because the religious activities or the religious training that you have, but because you have the same perspective that God has. You want the God things that God wants for them. This is really, you know, one of the steps, if you want, that shows, makes you, your witness effective, because you are not going to be, get into them in the wrong way. And that's not going to work all the time. That depends on them, but, you know, that gives you a great advantage with respect to anybody trying to do it in the flesh. So this is a spiritual activity. You cannot do the spiritual thing. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus said in John 3:6. And so that's the thing we have to learn to operate in. Okay. So the thing, you know, going back to this crucifying the old man and, you know, putting on the new man. Okay. One of the things that if you want to be effective in ministering to people is evidently going through those two processes, crucifying the flesh and, you know, renewing your mind, okay, with the word. Renewing your mind the way God says, so that the fruit of the Spirit is manifested in us instead of the works of the flesh. That was really boiled down to, says in Galatians chapter 5. Okay, that's where the difference comes. Okay. And, you know, so in, you know, for example, in Colossians, talks a bit about that in terms of, you know, on a practical way. Okay. In, you know, in different aspects of our life. And so as we, you know, go listen to the Holy Spirit in this area, we identify areas in which we have to do some crucifying and some areas in which we have to do some renewing of the mind. And that process itself, okay, even if it's not directly related to outreach or evangelism, is going to produce result in our impact as in the outreach that we make. Because we are going to do things, you know, motivated by the right reasons. We are going to do things expressing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, okay, and not the work of the flesh that are going to produce conflict, problems, and things. Now, you know, even sometimes the fruit of the Spirit, I mean, Jesus was criticized all the time, so evidently, you know, that wasn't enough for the Pharisees, but that was because the Pharisees were, you know, negative and in the flesh themselves. They were, you know, controlled by demonic forces, not by the Holy Spirit. So you can see, okay, if we, our walk has an impact on our outreach, because doesn't matter if we want to outreach or not, okay, our characteristics, our impact, our ability to minister to others is going to change according to the fruit of the Spirit that are going to be in us and according to our ability to hear the Holy Spirit. And that means, you know, the elimination of some of the fleshy works of the flesh in our life. Okay. Is that clear? Any comments? Any comments? Do you see the way it worked in your life? Something like this. The more you're going through that process, the more you, you know, as you read this, as you study this, you see that this is what you have experienced and what you are going through. It's the ongoing project that we are in growth. You know, salvation is not an instantaneous thing. There is a breakthrough when we are, you know, come to the Lord, but then there is all the work of the Lord in us to cleanse us and to, you know, help us to crucify the flesh and to develop the new man in us so that we become more and more like Jesus. And the more we are like Jesus, and the more effective we are going to be in ministering to the world in everything, not just bringing them to know, but any of the things we do. So all these things, you know, if you want, are all connected together. You know, for example, let me read some scripture here. Just after saying, you know, let me go from Colossians chapter 3. Okay. Let me see where I start. Yeah, okay, start from 3:5. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. You see, all these things, you know, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, covetousness, are not works of the flesh. Idolatry is the spiritual component of it. Okay, the people cannot see. You know, it's not talking here about worshiping idols. It's what's going on in us that makes us worship the wrong thing, or we're going to want the wrong thing. Okay, so it's having the wrong values, essentially, which is a spiritual component, which is really not, you know, operating in the fruit of the Spirit, but to have, you know, desire for the wrong thing. Okay. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of those disobedience. So, you know, and this is not saying that has come, is coming. This is the when, you know, after when the tribulation comes, this is what going to start. Okay. And all the sons of disobedience, the one that have rejected Jesus until Jesus coming, are going to be suffering, you know, through the tribulation that actually God himself is going to, you know, allow for the world to receive. Okay. It says, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. So you see, this is where we were there too. And we are not there now. And it's not because we are, you know, done things. It's because Jesus is what Jesus has done. It has changed us. It has empowered us to be able to walk in this new way. Then goes on about the other side of the things. Okay, but now you yourself, you see, that's the evidence, okay, of our new nature developing inside us. Okay, but now you yourself are put off these things: anger, malice, wrath, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. So you see, the fact that we remove these things is not legalism, like some people, you know, the people with upper hyper grace says, but it's really evidence that you are in Christ, that, you know, these things have nothing to do with you because you are in a completely different space. This is the physical manifestation. They are the physical manifestation of the flesh, and these are not evident in you. So goes on, you know, continuing to, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deed. Okay. So that means that sometimes you are going to be tempted to do these things. As you know, you just stop yourself. And that's not being legalistic. That is doing exactly what God wants to do and what he is creating in you. Okay. Continue, verse 10, I have put on the new man. So the old man is in his deed you have put off. You have put on a new man in renewed and in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So the idea is, okay, that you are renewing your mind, that you think differently, that you react differently, that you are going to, you know, you are not going to allow yourself to do these things because you are different and you are, you know, you put off those things, you crucify them, you stop them. If you were tempted to do it that way, you say, no, I'm not going to do it. Oh my goodness, 8:49. No, what time is it? 8:46. Okay, I better stop here. Otherwise, I keep going. So, are you following what I'm saying? I mean, this is actually the Holy Spirit working in us, manifesting itself, and enabling us to do things that actually are not the flesh, but of the Spirit. Is the anointing of God operating in us and manifesting itself in the fruit of the Spirit. And in the works as well. But not anymore the work of the flesh, but the work, the good works that God has planned for us. All right. Um See, what I like to see is that, you know, you start seeing the connection between the scriptural part and the physical manifestation of the activities that take place in your life. So that you can start regulating the physical activity according to the spiritual description here in the description. So you apply the scripture yourself and see the power in the scripture manifested in your life, and keep growing in that more and more. As the new man grows in the image of him, renewed according to the image of him, Jesus, man. See, this is what God wants to do. Make you like Jesus, actually like Christ. I think I better stop here. Okay. Any questions? Anything before we close? Can be just a theory. It has to be applications. Okay? You understand what I mean? All right. Should we close? If so, anything that no comments, then we are going to close. All right, let's see. Praise the Lord. I think somebody else can close. Maybe Andrew. Andrew, you like to close?
Sure, Maurizio.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for this evening, and thank you for equipping us, Lord, with your word and with the desire to reach out to the people around us and to develop strategies and a plan so that we can do that effectively. And we know, Lord, we have to be led by your spirit and just be genuine and be ourselves and be the unique persons we are as we reach out, Lord, under your guidance and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.